growth is important. Growth is necessary. But what does it mean to grow spiritually? And most of us, you know, we took some time last week and talked about why should I want to grow spiritually? Because after all, let's just be honest. What's in it for me, right? Why should I want to grow spiritually? And over the next few weeks, number of weeks, we're going to be talking about taking steps in our growth. I kind of liken it unto this. How many of you ever had to put together children's toys at like Christmas time or something, and they have like 550 pieces, instructions you can't understand? Or I liken it unto trying to put together IKEA furniture as well. You know, I can't figure it out. I usually got two or three pieces left over by the end of it. Somehow it works out. What I want to do is I want to not necessarily destruct, but I want us to maybe back up and learn how to construct what spiritual growth is. So last week we talked about why should I want to grow in the first place. And today I want to talk to you about, and I'm going to use a word, and the word that we're going to use conversion. You know, it's salvation. And I don't want us to trip over this, but in our spiritual growth, we're going to learn early on that God has given us a new nature. So before I get into that, let me just give you a heads up where we're going. We're going to be looking at 2 Peter chapter 2, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. And we'll take a look in just a moment at what that means. You know, it reminded me of a story, and you've probably heard this story before, but it was about the scorpion and the frog. The scorpion needed to get across the pond, but the problem was is the scorpion can't swim. So he sees a frog, and he tells the frog, "Frog, I need to get across the pond. Will you give me a ride on your back?" And the frog says, "Well, I was just about to hop across the pond. I'll be glad to give you a ride if you promise not to sting me when we reach the other side." "Oh," the scorpion promised. He said, "I won't do that. I just want to ride to the other side." So the scorpion hopped on the frog. The frog hopped across the pond. But as soon as they arrived, the scorpion stung the frog. "How could you do that?" the frog said. "I gave you a ride on my back, and you promised not to sting me." And the scorpion simply shrugged and replied, "It's in my nature to sting." Just in the same way the scorpion stings because that's the nature of a scorpion, it's why sinners sin, because it's a part of the nature of that we're born into. And there's something that needs to take place, a radical transformation in our life, if we're going to get from the sin nature to an understanding of what it means to have this new nature that God has given to you and me as believers. So if you're here today and you're a Christian, God has already given you his nature. It's inside of you. You may not feel it, recognize it, be able to identify it exactly, but it's there. And he says that he gives you that nature. So we can grow. And growth presupposes that a birth has taken place, and that a life, a new nature, has begun. So what I want to focus on today is that the better we understand what happens when a person is converted, the new nature, or born again, if I can say it that way, then the better we're going to understand the dynamic of the process of spiritual growth in our life. Are we doing good so far? By the way, I want to welcome those that are online watching us. I know that many are still attending through online. We welcome you. And we are going to learn to grow together over the next number of weeks. What does that mean? But we have to start with this understanding of a new nature. Here's what I want to ask you to do, church. If you're here today, please don't shut your ears if you say, "Oh, I gave Jesus my heart. Conversion has taken place. I'm all good. I don't need to hear this." I want to ask if you'll just be open to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say. If you've not given your heart to Jesus, or if you've kind of let distance come between you and Jesus, then won't you just let him draw you close to him again? And if you've been walking with the Lord for 20, 30 years, here's the challenges we're going to see over the next few moments, is that growth is a process. And we need the nature of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to help us navigate through lives. I think we can all probably agree with that. Give it a big amen. Now, in 2 Peter chapter 1, the scripture has something to say about this new nature. Let me read it to you. It says, and by the way, you can follow along with us in your there's a outline in your bulletins that you can follow along with. You can refer back to some of the scriptures. But in 2 Peter chapter 1, it says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of, here it is, the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. What is being drawn out of this scripture is the defining principle of what a radical transformation is. If you are a Christian, you have a new nature that is within inside of you, and it's been placed there by God. Amen? Okay, we're there. So to understand and appreciate what God did for us at conversion and the implications for our spiritual growth in this journey, we need to see it against the backdrop of the sinful nature that there was before Christ came. It says in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. In other words, we live in a sinful world, right? We were born into this sin nature. So there's a need for somebody to come and bring that transformation. And back in Genesis, you know, when Adam sinned against God, his innocence was lost. And he became corrupted by sin. So I asked the question, and I put it in your outlines, why is conversion necessary? This is the reason. Conversion is necessary because of our sin nature that separates us from God. It's because of the sin. Now, if you're like me, when I first started to learn this, I'm like, listen, if I was born into this sin nature and I didn't have any choice in the whole matter, then why is it my fault? Why is there that separation? That's the nature that we're born into. But God says, don't focus on the nature of sin. Focus on the new nature that I give you, but you've got to want it. You've got to want to receive it so that there's no separation between us. As sinful human beings, we cannot, by the way, approach God in our own power. We cannot approach God in our own strength or in our own wisdom or our own understanding, let alone be spiritually closer to Him without having a transformative work that's happened within our hearts and our lives. Here's what it says in Psalms chapter 51, verse 5. And David wrote this. He said, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Now, when David wrote that, he wasn't saying that he was illegitimate. He's not saying that. But what he was saying was that sin is the nature that he was born into, and it's the nature that you and I have been born into as well. And we must recognize the need for this new nature. Learn what it's about. It's conversion, new nature, being born again. Isaiah said something similar. He said, all righteous deeds are like filthy garments or filthy rags. It's not that sinful people don't want to try to do good things, but a sinner's attempts to please God are like a person who has a highly contagious disease who's volunteering to donate blood. You see, it's not acceptable because there's not that pureness. That's why no one has to teach, by the way, being born into sin world, this sin world or sin nature. Have you ever noticed that you've never needed to teach young little children how to lie? You've never had to teach them that. Why? Because it came naturally because of the environment they were born into. You never had to teach young people how to be little kids, how to be selfish. They learned how to do that because of the nature that they were born into. And by the way, it's not just little kids I'm picking on. It's the same nature that we're in now. Romans chapter 8, verse 8 says, so then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Well, if I'm born into this sin world and you're saying that in my flesh I cannot please God, what needs to take place? A transformative work, a transformation, a conversion, if you will. Whatever situation you're going through, whatever difficulty you're facing right now, that nature that God placed within inside of you is enough to get not only get you through it, but to succeed in the midst of it. God has given you everything that you need. You know, there's I was just kind of looking around for some illustrations, and I found this, it's a disease is what it really is, and I'm going to try to say the name. So if you're in the medical field and I mutilate this, I apologize to you right now, but it's called myasthenia gravis. And what it is, they just call it MG because people can't pronounce it like me. But what it is it's this. It's a neuromuscular disease that causes weakness in the skeletal muscles. And those are the muscles that your body uses for movement. And this disease is when there's a short circuit between here and here. It's when your brain says, raise your hand and wipe your nose, but your hand doesn't do it because it didn't get the message. There's a short circuit somewhere. It's when your brain says, take a step forward, but your foot is unable to do it because your foot didn't get the memo. It didn't get the information to move. There's a short circuit that takes place. And the effects of the sinful nature on our lives is something like this disease. We're born into a sin nature, and unless we have the new nature that God gives us, there's going to always be a short circuit. We're never going to fully feel like we're fulfilled in life. And so therefore, we must have that transforming work of the Holy Spirit. The Bible declares that every person is born with a short circuit in his spiritual nerve system, if I can say it that way. And without the transformative work of the Holy Spirit, conversion, new nature, there will continue to be this short circuit between the flesh and the spirit. And the implications of the fact for spiritual growth are tremendous. As a matter of fact, there's a bullet in your outline there. Write this down. There can be no growth where there is no new spiritual birth. If you want to see growth in your life, there first of all has to be a life there to grow. There has to be some spiritual, something new that has taken place. When God gives you his, or when he gave you his new nature, he said, you now have what you need to grow. Now, this may not be new news to you, and you completely understand this, but, and I say this a little bit bluntly, but I mean it nicely. There are legions of people who go to church every week and consider themselves Christians, yet never exhibit any spiritual growth. They go to church, that's good. You know, I love that. As a matter of fact, I want you all to find one person that isn't going to church, bring them next week so that we can learn, so that we can grow together. But we've got to understand this, that just going through the motions doesn't bring growth. Is that good? Yes. Coming to church is a part of your growth. Listening to audio, podcast, all that's good. Coming to praise and worship night, that's good. But at the very center of it, you must have that new nature or you miss out on all the best blessings that God has to offer you. You know, we got to be willing to receive that. John chapter 3 talks about this conversion of a man named Nicodemus. Do you remember Nicodemus in the Bible? Nicodemus, he was a ruler of the Jews. And he came to Jesus by night and he said, no one can do these things that you do unless God is with them. And Jesus responded to him and said, unless one is born again, they will not see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus was confused. He said, what do you mean born again? He kind of pulled an old Columbo. Let me ask just one more question. What do you mean born again? Because we've already been born once. We can't be born again. And he says, you don't understand. In John chapter 3, verse 7, he says, do not marvel, this is Jesus, he said, do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. Understand what I'm saying is what Jesus says. You were born physically once, but now there needs to be a spiritual birth, a new nature that's deposited. And what Nicodemus learned was that religion alone was not enough. He needed to be born again, a point of conversion that brought about a change within his life so that he could grow. And it's the same thing that God challenges us with today. If we are going to grow, and we're going to talk over the next few weeks, I think we started last week with, why should I want to grow? But we need to start with an understanding of, okay, I have Jesus in my heart, but are you growing? Are you letting there be some roots that take place and not just being content with going through the motions, but letting there be growth? You see, this conversion, what does it mean for me to have it, to want it, or to truly experience it in my life? If our problem is defective, corrupt, and a ruined nature, then you and I need a brand new nature implanted within us to fix the mess that we see within our life. So here's what I want to do. I just want to give you some characteristics of this new nature that God has given to you or will give to you if you give him room. And I want to just keep it simple but break it down, because conversion is not just about one and done. You know, I said yes to Jesus, so now I can go do whatever I want, whenever I want, however I want. No, it's a relationship that God has with us. So when we experience that conversion, what's the character of that conversion? Number one, write this down. At that point of conversion, God gives us his nature. He gives us his nature at conversion. Conversion or salvation is the process where God deposits within every believer a new nature that is from him, and it is perfect. It is perfect. says in Romans chapter 6, verse 6, knowing this, that the old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Our old nature, the Bible says, was our old nature deposited sin in our bodies so that it even has to be destroyed. But the presence of sin, we're still in that environment. We're still in that arena. It's just that sin no longer operates within the essence of who we are because of the new nature that God has given to each and every one of us. Now, I wrote down a scripture you can read later. I say it at funerals a lot. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 53 to 54, and you can go check it out later. But this is a scripture I read at funerals a lot because it talks about the essence of conversion and that when we have taken on his nature, though we still live in a sin nature, we live in this world, because of that new nature, we now have the ability to be able to not just succeed, but we know not just that Jesus will come and take us home, but he'll live through us, in us and through us, while we live here on this earth. Conversion is of such importance, and it's a radical concept that Paul wrote this, and I want you to read it with me nice and loud. A familiar scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:17. It's in your outlines. It's up on the screen in a moment. It's in your bulletins. Let's read it nice and loud. Ready? Go. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. This is a very powerful scripture when we're talking about when I say yes to Jesus and he gives me this new nature. He's saying that there's something new that God has done. So when we say yes to Jesus and we receive his nature, or we receive Jesus, we receive his nature into our hearts, in our lives as well. And number two, write this down. We learn that when we receive that nature, our new nature now needs to be nurtured. It now needs to be nurtured. If we're a genuine believer, then the new nature from God is present within our lives. It has the perfect makeup that is necessary for us to grow. And this new nature, it might be buried deep within sometimes. It might be buried under old ways of thinking, old ways of acting, but it's there and it needs to be nurtured. God has given you his nature. We must nurture that. Spiritual growth, this is in your outlines there, spiritual growth is the process of maturing and developing. It's a journey, folks. You know, when I was a kid, I used to think, man, I can't wait till I become mature. Because when I was a kid, mature meant being old enough to do whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted, not realizing that that's not really a mature way of thinking. That was just my view of it at that point and at that time. But maturing is actually a journey. It's a process that we're on. And spiritual growth is a process of maturing, but developing also that new nature in our lives. It's that which God has implanted into our lives at the deepest core of our being. Let me go back to just give you a physical illustration to help us understand what I'm trying to say when it comes to spiritual growth. When a mother becomes pregnant and there is life within the womb, there's life inside, the whole package is there. The whole child is there. Amen? Right? Okay. So everything is there. And over the process of due time, that child will grow. Correct? Okay, so, but it's a process, it's a journey. The child doesn't come out 6'4", weighing 238 pounds, and all the ladies said amen to that one, right? They start very small, but then they start to grow, and they start to mature. Here's the thing. Even before, a lot of times, the mother even knows she's pregnant, there's life within her. A lot of times. Before she even detects that something is up, all right? Life is already present. It's just in the embryonic state of development. Well, if that's true, and it is, if you expect the first week of the pregnancy, the third week of the pregnancy, that if you went to the doctor and they put the ultrasound on your tummy and they start looking, you're not going to see hands this size, right? No. You're probably not going to see hands at all at that point, that early on. But as time goes on, the child starts to grow. It's a process of maturing. So when the time comes and as the child grows, then delivery happens. You then have an infant, and then you have a toddler, and then eventually you have a teenager, right? And then you have a young adult, and then you have an adult, and it's a process. You see, the same way that we look at that, our spiritual growth follows that same process very much. Just as a baby's earliest growth within the mother isn't evident on the outside, it doesn't change the fact that growth is taking place inside. And spiritually speaking, when you start saying, God, I want you to come into my heart and my life, and again, if you've been walking with him for years, you're just saying, Lord, there's been some distance. I want to grow. I want to mature. I want to become just more disciplined and wiser. You start doing that. It may not be evident right away, but just like a mom who is pregnant and doesn't know it, it's just a matter of months before she starts to show, right? So it is spiritually. You may not recognize it right away, but if you keep up with it and you keep on feeding your spirit the right things, it will become evident to people that cross your path. It will become evident to you, and people will recognize that, but that change happens as God does his work through the new nature that he's deposited in our lives. Christians still struggle, by the way, with sin, you know, the fleshly thoughts and desires, and that's just, can I just clear the slate and let's just call it out? You can be the best Christian in the world and you're still going to wrestle with sin, right? You can have Jesus in your heart and still struggle with thoughts in your head. It's not that there's necessarily anything wrong with that. It's what you do when those thoughts land there. Do you entertain them? Do you give them a permanent address? Or do you do something to allow there to be a change that takes place? You see, you're able to do that when you have the nature of God inside of you. So we'll still struggle with those fleshly thoughts and desires, but God's not as interested. He's not interested in just trying to kind of like knock out the dents and of your old sinful self and sand down the rough places and give you a fresh coat of paint and voila, you look pretty good. He's not into that. What he's into is simply this. He says, the old has passed away. Get rid of it. I want to give you something brand new. He's not trying to fix it up. He's trying to birth something new within our lives. And we have to understand that as Christians. Otherwise, it will stymie our growth. Now, a lot of people think that that's the way it is. You know, Christian life is just about looking a little neater and tidying up our language and not cussing so much or, you know, or at least not getting caught doing it, you know. What can we do to shine things up? He's not interested in that. When you address the new nature and you say, God, I want you to do a new thing in me, that stuff starts to disappear because of what's going on the inside. But it starts there. And yet what a lot of people think is that the Christian life and spiritual growth is more about what you don't do rather than what you do. And God wants to deposit his new nature within us. And it's going to require the process. It's going to require us to nurture that. We've got to be a part of that growth. Number three, write this down. Another character of the new nature is our old self is now a total loss. When you ask Jesus into your life, he says, your old self is a total loss. Ephesians chapter 4 says that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And be renewed in your spirit and in your mind, and that you put on a new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. You know, the problem with too many Christians is that we're busy trying to repair the old nature instead of getting rid of it and receiving God's new nature that he has for us. If you've ever had a car that was a total loss, whether it's because you got in a car accident or for whatever reason, it's a total loss. What happens? Well, if you have, you know, some good insurance or depending on what circumstances they were, when you have a car that's a total loss, you get a new car, right? If you've got good enough insurance. If you don't, then you do the best you can to get that car looking good. But because you and I have the new nature of God, he says that when you have my new nature, everything else is a total loss. I've shared the story before, so I won't go into all the details, but there was a time when I was driving a little Ford Festiva, and I got hit by a semi, and it totaled the car. I mean, think a Festiva, you know, it's teeny tiny. It's small. And it's at that moment when I looked at my car and I said, it's a total loss. There is no way that you know, thank God that he spared me from that. But it was a total loss. We had to get rid of that. We got something new. When you bring yourself to God and you say, deposit within me your nature, he says, fine. He says, but get rid of the old. Don't worry about that. It's forgiven. It's forgotten. Let me give you something brand new. God's word declares, out with the old, in with the new. Not verbatim, of course. I kind of dusted that up. But he says, I want to give you a new nature. But we wrestle with that. Let me give you maybe a better illustration, and that would be this. A caterpillar and a butterfly. First service, I wrestled. I always used to tell our kids, a calipitter. And from then on, I could never get it right. But a caterpillar, it's not really that pretty. A caterpillar really is, it's a caterpillar. Nobody really pays attention to it. It's kind of creepy. It slinks along the way. But then all of a sudden, what happens is, when the caterpillar gets into the cocoon, then all of a sudden, there's a transformation that takes place. The caterpillar gets inside, and it's used to its environment that it once was in, but once it gets into the cocoon, it receives a new nature. And when it comes out of that cocoon, what happens is it becomes a beautiful butterfly. You see, the creature that once could only crawl can now fly, and it can soar because of the new nature and the transforming work that's taken place. And that's the same transforming work that God wants to do in and through our lives. This transformation requires a growth process. And it isn't always easy, but the results are worth the effort. You see, a butterfly is not just a fixed-up caterpillar. A butterfly is a new creation. And we've got to understand that when we come to Jesus and receive his new nature, we're not just a fixed-up Christian like who we used to be. He says, I put within you a brand new nature. So he's into the business of taking the old, but we've got to be willing, giving us new, but we've got to be willing to let that go and receive the new nature that God has for us. Number four, write this down. Conversion is part of how we grow. It's part of how we grow. If we're going to grow spiritually, then realize that conversion is part of it. We're really driving home the importance of conversion. I keep using that word because it's the foundation of our spiritual growth according to the Word of God. You see, if you're struggling to keep things up in life, you need to see that God has deposited within you everything that you need from the moment you ask Jesus into your heart. He deposited within your life everything that you need to handle everything that's going on in your life. If you're here today and you're struggling for whatever reason, whatever that means, you can fill in the gap. God has already deposited within your heart and within your life that which is necessary, but now you must nurture it. You must let the old just pass away and then start to let there be a growth that takes place. Involved in that growth and watch what God will do. So if you're struggling, know that God's given you everything that you need. When you said, I don't think I can do it, God says you can. I don't think I can make it, God says, I've already given you the victory. We just have to walk in agreement with that new nature. You and I have everything we need to grow and become spiritually mature because you and I have the Holy Spirit inside of us. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. Hebrews says it this, for by one offering, he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws upon their heart and upon their mind. I will write them. He then says, in their sins and their lawless deeds, I will remember no more. Under the old covenant, the Word of God tells us, the law of Moses, God wrote the laws on tablets. Remember that? Back in Exodus, he wrote down, thou shalt not. And he told us what it is that we needed to do. But under the new covenant, it says that God writes his laws on our hearts and on the minds of his people, which means that he gives us both the desire through our hearts and the power through our minds to obey him and to please him. We all, I think if I asked you today how many of you would like to bring glory and honor to God, I don't think there's one person that would say, no, I'm not feeling it. I think everybody would say, primarily just because I'm asking them and you're in church, but even on your own, if you said, do you want your life to bring glory and honor to God? And if you can honestly answer yes to that, then the way you're going to do it is by cooperating with the new nature he's deposited within your life. Letting there be spiritual growth that comes by obeying his word or by when he brings conviction that you listen to that. You see, this is a staggering change in God's way of dealing with people because in the Old Testament, Israelites had to go out and kind of find God's law, if I can say it that way. They had a list that they had to follow. They had to do their best to keep it, but we carry his law written on our hearts and written on our minds, which is always ready to instruct us and to correct us. That's why it's called the conviction of the Holy Spirit. That's why when you feel like doing something wrong, you know that it's wrong, you want to do it, but then you know this is the right thing to do. The reason that wrestling match is there is because he's given you his new nature. That's why that conviction comes. So what's my point? Well, when it comes to spiritual growth, you and I, we have all we need to grow. right within us because he gave it to us at the point of conversion. All we have to do is cooperate with that. Number five, another characteristic of our new nature is, know this, you're not going to like this one very much, but we will have new struggles. Now, before you want to throw your Bible at me or something and say, I knew it, I knew that you're going to, I don't want any new struggles. Well, can I just point out that even if you don't receive God's nature that he gives to you, you're still going to have struggles. But the reality is having those struggles without God on your side is going to be worse than having his nature in your life and letting him lead you through it. When you have the nature of God in your life, there's a relationship with Jesus, you will experience some new struggles. And that's the truth, the whole truth and nothing but it. But God will give you what you need in the midst of it because conflict is inevitable, right? You're going to face it. You're going to experience it. Paul even talks about it in the book of Romans chapter 7. And he says this, it's kind of familiar, we've heard it different ways, but he said, for what I'm doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. You ever find yourself maybe identifying with that? I know this isn't the right thing to do, but the thing that's not right is the thing I want to do. And the thing that's right to do, I don't want to do that. Paul's having this internal struggle. It was a new struggle because of the conversion that took place in his life. And it's the same struggle that you and I will face when we have that new nature deposited within us. All of a sudden, we have a choice to make. And I think we can all identify with Paul. But you see, Paul had God's law written on his heart and on his mind. You and I have the same thing. His law is written on our heart and on our mind, which is why we can't ever sin the way we used to before Jesus. Now we have that point of conviction. Now we feel this sense of a struggle and we don't quite know what to do. We have gone or undergone the same heart transplant as every other believer. God doesn't deal, by the way, in bypass surgery. He wants to give you a new heart. And it's with that new heart that we learn to navigate through the world. Because this world is full of challenges and struggles. Can we agree on that? I mean, this last year was a whopper. Okay, we've talked about that. We've gone through elections. We've gone through... It doesn't matter if you want to look at spiritual, political, relational. Every aspect, we need the power of the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. I don't know about you, but I need to know what the Holy Spirit has to say. I might not always like what he has to say. I might not always agree with what he says. But I've come to find out that he knows what he's talking about. I struggled with that. I used to fight against it. I've learned to cooperate with that. How? By cooperating with his new nature. You see, many of us say, I want to grow in my walk with Christ. How do you do that? Well, you do that by obeying his word. Well, you see, I don't want to obey just for the sake of obeying. How about obeying for the sake of having some peace in your life just simply because God knows what's best? And, you know, well, I can probably do that. That's what it's like to cooperate. And then we find that though there's new struggles, God still will lead us through all of those. Here's number six, character of our new nature. There will be new appetites. There will be new appetites. When you and I, at that point of conversion, ask Jesus into our heart, all of a sudden, he'll deposit with inside of you, eventually, a desire, a hunger for things. Have you ever wished you could, I never really liked to read much. I never really liked to listen to preaching tapes very much or whatever they are now, podcasts. There were tapes back in my day. But it wasn't until my relationship with God, that new nature was deposited. I started having a hunger to I want to learn more. I want to get more involved. It was as soon as I started to change a few things, especially my environment. I started to change the people I hung around with and started to surround myself with people that supported me. And all of a sudden, things started to blossom and come to life simply because I changed the environment and the people I hung around with. And all of a sudden, new appetites started to arise. Let me put it this way. I'm picking on the ladies today, but women, when they do become pregnant and there's child within them, I don't know when and I don't know how the time is, but eventually there's cravings that come and overtake your body, right? All of a sudden you're hungry for things that you didn't even know existed and you start putting them together. Why? Because you have this appetite for something new, something different. I might not know what it's like to carry a child or to have those cravings, but I live with a woman who went through, we went through a few pregnancies, and I watched her as she got those cravings, you know, and they were unique, and they were specific. One pregnancy, it was mozzarella sticks, You know, had to have mozzarella sticks. And, you know, just they were the best. And then so specific are they that another pregnancy was Otis Spunkmeyer chocolate chip muffins. That's a mouthful. And I'd like to see you go out and try to find them. I went to a number of stores looking for them. And it had to be that. Why? Because there was a craving and there was a hunger and an appetite that was brand new that said, feed me now, I want this. When that new nature of God is deposited in your life, you'll start to experience a hunger for things you weren't hungry for before. I wished I wanted to hear more people preach the Word of God. I wish I wanted to worship more and be like so-and-so. By the way, can I just give you a warning? Don't try to compare yourselves ever to anybody else. Comparison is a very dangerous game. Oh, I wish, and I learned that early on through experience. I wish I could be that kind of pastor. Well, I don't preach like him. Well, I don't have a church like that. And I started focusing on all the things that I wasn't, that I almost missed out on the things that God wanted to do in me and through me. Just using me. Don't compare yourselves and say, well, I wish I could worship like them. If you want that hunger for worship, it'll come. And you just lean into that. If you want that hunger to read more and to get some more knowledge, you know, it'll come. And as it does, you start to feed it. There's new appetites that will come. And so in the same way that a mother can crave specific foods, when we have that new nature of God in our lives, we'll start to crave and hunger for some new things because it's near our heart. Matthew chapter 6, 21 says, for where your treasure is, do you remember the rest? There your heart will be also, right? Psalms 42:1, it says, as the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you, O God. In other words, when you have his nature, you start hungering for the things that God has for you, God wants for you, even you want for you, but you could never figure out how to get it. You can still live in this nature, this sin nature, and all the struggles that are here in the old flesh, but because of the new nature that's within you, you have a sensitivity to the Spirit of God and what it is that he's doing in your home, in your personal life, in your church, whatever that means. You can have that and walk through that simply because of the new appetite that God brings into your life. And we must never forget, this is number 7, it's the last one and then we'll be done. It's what's on the inside that counts. That's what counts. When we say that we receive his new nature, it means that we're receiving Jesus, and what's on the inside is what's most important. Spiritual growth does not primarily depend on what is happening around you, but what's happening inside of you. The things that are happening around you are good. Fellowship's important. Worship's important. Teaching, preaching, all those things. But never allow them to replace the new nature that you and I are to have deposited within our lives, because it's what's on the inside that counts the most. You see, full-grown oak trees don't just appear, do they? No. Full-grown Christians don't do it either. It's a process. If you want a full-grown oak tree, or if you want an oak tree to become full-grown, you got to start with planting a seed. You got to nurture it. You got to take care of it. You got to give it time, and eventually, it starts to grow. If you want to become the fully-grown, mature Christian that God has called you to be, it's not going to happen overnight. I'm not saying that to burst your bubble. I'm saying that in hopes to help you understand that this will be a journey and everything's going to be all right because God will be with you and you'll start to grow and mature and things will grow on the inside because spiritual growth, this is in your outlines, spiritual growth is the process of expanding and releasing what's on the inside so that it becomes visible to the outside world as well. See, in the midst of the heat of the world, I know that you and I have gone through some difficult times, some challenges that nobody has ever faced before. But even if that didn't happen, we'd still be having some struggles, right? We'd still be having some frustrations and issues. And it's when the heat of the world, when the heat of your circumstances start to just increase, what's on the inside is going to come out. And it's going to be evident, and people will see it. And the question is what's on the inside? When things intensify in those situations, in those situations, when God is at the core, conversion, we will find that our greatest times of spiritual growth are almost always in the midst of the trials, because it's in the middle of those situations that we grow the most. I don't know about you, but when I've gone through difficult times, I've cried like I've never cried before out to God. I've sought Him like I've never sought Him before. And at the end of it all, I'd look back and I'd say some of my greatest times of growth have been at the most frustrating points in my life. Why? Because that heat that was turned up and intensified drew something outside of, or from inside of me to the outside. It became evident. But you've got to have it in there. You've got to have His new nature. Let me kind of illustrate it this way. How many of you here like popcorn? Popcorn fans? I recently became a fan of Costco. Costco is my new best friend. And when I have stressful time, I'll drive to Costco and just walk around that place. Well, as I walked around that place, I started seeing lots of fun and interesting foods waving to me. Hello. Buy me. And I wanted some microwave popcorn, so I found Kirkland microwave popcorn. Problem is they don't come in a box of like 10 or 12. They come in a box of like 3,977, right? So I did what any other wise person would do, and I bought the box. I ask you if you're a popcorn fan, because if you're a popcorn fan and I hand you this pack and I say, here, eat, are you going to do it? No, you're not going to do it. Why? Who's going to eat unpopped popcorn? That's no fun. It's actually kind of nasty. There's probably a lot of butter just sitting at the bottom. It'll break your teeth and chip them up. You're tricking me. You said when I eat popcorn. I meant real popcorn. This is real popcorn. It's just not popped yet. It's not gone through a transformative process to get to the state that which we enjoy eating popcorn. You see, if we're going to eat popcorn, when we think of popcorn like this. There you go. Now you're talking popcorn. Because all of a sudden, it's different. What happens is the popcorn, the kernel that's in here, becomes what we enjoy when it goes through a process of being placed in the heat. When it's placed in the heat, what happens is that heat increases and moisture starts to take place inside this popcorn bag. And when the moisture gets to be so great, then it turns into steam. And the steam then pushes on the popcorn on the inside, produces such a pressure that kernel of corn can't hold it any longer, and it pops. And all of a sudden, what's on the inside comes out. In the same way of our spiritual growth, when we're talking about new nature, God is bringing us to a place where He says, listen, folks, it's what's on the inside that counts. It's only when you go through the transformative work that you get from here to here. And many of us, we want this. I want to be here. I want to arrive here. This smell, oh man, it smells good. I had to apologize to the worship team for a service because I popped this popcorn right before service started, and then I placed it under the keyboard, and they were all hungry all through first service. So, but my point simply is this, that aroma, man, it changed everybody. It got them thinking about popcorn. It got them thinking about food. It got them thinking about lunch. It got them thinking about things that had to do with the popcorn I placed down there. But if I place this down there, nobody's going to notice it. Janitor might find it. Maybe the keyboard player, if she kicks it. But nobody notices that. What they do notice is your new nature. This is what fills you. This is what sustains you. This is what smells good. This is what attracts people. You can smell popcorn 3 blocks away, and you can find where that's coming from. When you go to the movie theater, one of the reasons we love to go to the movie theater, smell of that popcorn. When God transforms you, that new nature He's placed with inside of you, all of a sudden people will start to look at you and you'll say, that's what I've been wanting. I want the fullness of His Holy Spirit. I want there to be a pride with inside of me. Not prideful, but proud. I am a son or daughter of the Most High God. I'm not perfect, but I have His Holy Spirit inside of me. And that's what it means to be a Christian. I'll still make mistakes. I will still screw up. But when I fall down, I'll get back up. And when people see me, I want them to see Jesus. When I look in the mirror, I want to see Jesus. How do I get there, Pastor? You let God transform you. And sometimes that means when the heat comes on, don't run. You don't always have to be afraid of the heat. What you have to do is say, Lord, while I'm in the midst of the heat, and I don't know what you're doing, and I don't know when it's going to get over with, I'm going to trust you. And you'll see that God will transform your life. My prayer for us, church, is simply this, that we can be what God created us to be and grow together in our spiritual walk with Christ. Will you pray with me today? As we say, Father, I pray and ask that as we leave this place, my words are never, they just never feel sufficient enough to be able to express how much you love us and the desire that you have to see us walk and grow. Just like a parent who sees a child walk for the first time or ride the bike for the first time or, you know, just succeed in all that they do. Father, I can't even begin to explain how much pride you have in us as your children. Lord, sometimes we sell ourselves short. We settle for what the world has to offer. And today we're saying, Lord, create within us a new nature. Lord God, not one that's focused on what the world says, not on one that is about what anybody even close to us has said. Lord, we want to know what you have to say about us. We want to embrace that so that there will be a transformative work that takes place on the inside so that we can go from being something that's just ordinary like everybody else and be transformed into becoming something that is just a complete new creation. I want to ask you this, while you have your heads bowed and your eyes closed, you're here today. Maybe the Lord spoke to you today. Maybe you need to invite Jesus into your heart for the first time. Maybe you've grown distant. But I'm asking even this for everyone that's sitting here. Maybe the Holy Spirit spoke to you today. As I've been doing my best to just share what I believe God put on my heart, maybe the Lord spoke to you through His Holy Spirit and said, that's you. You need to grow here. You need to grow there. Maybe that's you. I'm going to simply ask you to do this. I think we need to just respond to what the Holy Spirit when He speaks to us. And if that's you and He spoke to you, I'm just simply going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. But I'm going to ask you to raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. The Holy Spirit's speaking to me. There's been some distance. I need to see some growth. So I'm going to lean into His new nature. If that's you, go ahead. Simply raise your hand. Father, you see their hands. You see their hearts. And I pray today in the name of Jesus that you will come and meet them right where they're at. Lord, at their lowest moment, will you come and fill them with your Holy Spirit? We are asking today, for those of you that are watching online, you ask the Lord simply, Lord, give me that new nature today that I may walk in the fullness of your Holy Spirit. I pray for everybody that is watching, everybody that is present, that your Holy Spirit would come now. And in the name of Jesus, that you will reveal yourself in a mighty way. Lord, that we will see the newness of your Spirit in our life. And when the sinful nature rises up, that we'll have the wisdom inside of us to be able to say, that's not the way I've been wired. I'm a son and daughter of the Most High God. So Lord, we thank you and we receive that today. In your name, amen. Amen, church.